This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Shota Imanaga was put on the 15-day IL as expected with a left hamstring strain. In a corresponding move, reliever Gavin Hollowell was promoted from Iowa. Does that make sense since Cade Horton pitched yesterday and Shota's spot is next Saturday at the Mets? Does Hollowell merely serve as a relief help until Saturday, or would you start Chris Flexen on the road and hold off at least a week with Horton?
Yeah, this is good stuff. This is what they're working through right now. This is what they're talking about and thinking about. I think it made perfect sense to bring up Hollowell. He still has some options. You can send him back down if you want to. You don't have to DFA anyone, and you get some bullpen help while you're waiting to figure out what you're going to do this weekend. I think they got a pretty good feel for what they're going to do this weekend. I believe it's either start Chris Flexen and, you know, you're on the road and try to get him to eat some innings and then use the bullpen for that game, or it's bring up Cade Horton and let's see what he's got. And I got a sense that maybe the manager would like to see the new starter, the young starter, and maybe the baseball boss would like to be patient and wait. He said something about it's still early, meaning that they probably have a plan of how many games they're going to give to Horton. How many innings he can fill,
yeah.
and that would be later in the year. And that kind of makes sense to me. But I'll be very curious to see what they do. I think that they will. They could start Flexen, and just because Shota will be back in a few weeks, hopefully. But you're right, could leak longer. And if it gets to a month, then guess what? You're talking about a stint in Iowa, too. You're talking about finding yourself again before you come back. So hopefully it won't be that long, and hopefully they won't have to make any roster decisions and cut anybody.
Well, I think the current record and the way the offense is performing is going to allow the Cubs some flexibility, plus days off, I think, for the next 2 weeks on Thursdays also allows them to mix and match things just the way they would like. So this is it's okay for right now.
So I think you are onto something. I heard Craig Counsell leave the door a little more wide open, yep, to Cade Horton's promotion, maybe as early as this weekend. And I heard Jed Hoyer be very cautious and deliberate in addressing the same thing. That tells me they're probably going to be more deliberate in when they bring up Cade Horton and maybe go one more spin through the rotation, perhaps with Chris Flexen, to see what he has and if this consistency continues. It's been a nice surprise. When you get news on Shota Imanaga after the game and it's a mild hamstring strain, it's a sigh of relief because it doesn't require much more of a long-term type of recovery process. That said, you don't really know what kind of recovery process it will take because he's never been injured in this way before.
Mm-hmm.
It's May 6th. I think conservatively, you got to look at this as saying June 1st. And if you can look at June 1st as a return for Shota, that's still good news. You can endure the month of May without your best pitcher if you have ample and adequate replacements. And I think the Cubs do. Now, if they want to make that Cade Horton, I'd encourage that. I would applaud that. I think he should be ready. He's 23 years old. We're not talking about a 21-year-old who was just drafted and you're kind of rushing him through the system. He is coming back from a surgery and he wants to watch his innings, but I do think that it's not an outrageous expectation. If he were to come up, whether it's Saturday in New York or next week in Wrigley Field, I think he's ready for his debut. Now, the Cubs can differ on that, and they can wait on that, and it'll be perfectly fine because they can get by. They also have a four-game lead in this NL Central. I would look at this, though. Don't worry about winning the division. Make the best move that helps you stay in contention for going deep into the playoffs. And if that means resting Shota and taking your time with Cade Horton, okay, I can respect that.
I did not think you were going to close me out with that one. That's a great question.
What stood out to you about last night's game? Were you relieved to see Kyle Tucker playing and ready to go after a misstep in the ninth on Sunday afternoon? How about the Cubs going into the game with a 6-0 record in the series openers at Wrigley Field?
That tells me they love coming home. You heard it from Pat Hughes during the broadcast when he saw the ivy turning a shade of green that it looked like springtime was around the corner, and he heard the crowd and he said, boy, I love coming home. And the Cubs do too, and I think that record reflects that. What stood out about last night's game is it was a sigh of relief when Kyle Tucker, Bigfoot, was rounding the bases without any pain, and he looked fine in the field. So, yeah, that was nice. But what stood out to me was the guy that often gets overlooked but should not any longer. Carson Kelly on a historic pace. The last Cub catcher to have 8 home runs in his through 20 games. Oh, Gabby Hartnett, 1925.
Wow.
This is a guy who's having a career year, a Chicago native born in Arlington Heights. This is the interview on Sunday morning with Matt Spiegel.
There
he revealed that.
There you go.
Then I love the background. I love the way that he's such an affable guy, what he brings to that clubhouse. Craig Counsell talked about it. He's just an easy guy to be around. He's a positive influence, and he's got a sizzling hot bat.
Must have spent a lot of time at the track as a baby.
He was just a baby.
Nicky Lopez's glove, that stood out. And I also, before the game started, I thought it was interesting. I was playing lineup Ista, I guess, by myself at home, but we saw Pico Armstrong and Nico Horner flip. Now, both guys ended up getting 2 hits and each scored a run. PCA did strike out, but so it worked for one night. I wonder if that will continue.
I thought Matthew Boyd pitched really well. I know he made a mistake. I know they tied the game. The Cubs were up 2-0 on a 2-run homer, and then they tied the game the same way, and then the Cubs took over the game. But I was impressed by the way that he pitched. And I think we need to talk more about what Kelly talked about with sort of the transformation on the field. I really like that. The idea that when he puts on the tools of ignorance, he is now the catcher and he's going to catch. And when he takes them off, he's the hitter and he's gonna rake. I thought that was super cool. And that's always kind of the battle. And you see that all the time. They're not getting a lot of offense out of Nicky Lopez, but they certainly got enough yesterday. He got a hit. He had a walk, a big walk, and it was good to see him. He's a very sure-handed fielder, and that problem, and it's a problem, the third base problem has quieted down because you got a guy that's going to man the position and make sure that plays get made, whether or not he's going to do anything at the plate. And like I said, he was good enough yesterday in both contributions to stand out. So congratulations to him, local guy, made good. We love seeing it.
And I know what your next question is, so go ahead.
What did you make of Shane Smith's performance for the White Sox last night in Kansas City? Do you believe he would be the White Sox All-Star representative if that decision was made today? Does Bobby Witt remain a major problem for any pitcher on the White Sox?
Boy, that guy is a nightmare. That guy, he just hits and steals bases, and there's very little you can do about it. And they manufactured a run basically thanks to him and took a lead and ended up winning the game. I thought that Shane Smith has been very good for the White Sox. He's probably been their all-star player. If you have to have a player on the all-star team, who else would it be? It's, you know, they've had a couple contributions from rookies coming up, but that's not all-star performance level. But I think that Shane Smith at this point, again, you know, it's not like there's major competition around it, but thus far, he's been excellent, and he's been really good, and he was good again yesterday. Not quite good enough, but good.
Definitely keeps you in games, eats some innings, walks maybe a little higher than you would want. But, I mean, Bobby Witt's not just a nightmare for White Sox pitcher. He's a nightmare for everybody.
He's MVP caliber. He's not going to win the MVP with Aaron Judge in the American League and others who might be in front of him, but he's that kind of a player. And he's the kind of a player that, frankly, when you look at him, you at one point in time, remember when Colson Montgomery was drafted and you thought, oh boy, the White Sox have their middle infielder to ascend quickly and make an impact, and that's not happening. So I guess that's a bad comparison, but he's easy to like and easy to watch. You know, Shane Smith has been a great example of why you should never give up on pitchers and why pitchers get so many chances, because something will click and they will find a pitch and they will perfect it or try to, and it will work for them. And in his case, it's the change up or the kick change or whatever they're calling it these days. But it is a variation of a change up and a pitch that is his out pitch, and he has used it successfully, and he's pitched with command and confidence. And he's not pitching on a very good team, but he's having very acceptable results. So I think he has been their best player. Who else would be in competition for that? Edgar Carroll is a young player who just needs more at-bats, but he's going to emerge, if this continues, as one of their better players.
Unbelievable.
You know, Chase Mydroth is somebody who's easy to watch, and you see encouraging signs. I'm not saying these guys are at all-star caliber yet. That's not to be misunderstood, but there are signs of life among these young players that the Sox have identified as pieces that you know, they maybe can build with, not around necessarily. I don't know if either are cornerstones, but yeah, these are encouraging signs.
These are concerns and questions that people are asking.
Did it make you feel better about the Blackhawks learning that the Denver hockey coach signed a multi-year contract extension to stay in college rather than to take another NHL job? Any inkling on who's next?
Well, that was a relief. That was a relief, because if the Hawks had to deal with the headline, David Carl leaves Denver for Anaheim to coach the Ducks, or David Carl leaves Denver for whatever NHL team, there would be a lot of explaining to do. And as it is, it just feels like David Carl, like we've seen before with college coaches not wanting to jump to the professional leagues, just is very comfortable and content with his job and his compensation and his situation. So he's in his late 30s. This won't be the last time an NHL team makes an overture. It reminds me of Ben Johnson turning down the Washington Commanders interview to stay in Detroit to be the offensive coordinator. Sometimes quality of life is greater than the size of the contract and or the size of the challenge in the case of the Blackhawks. So I think that was a relief to see that. Any inkling of who's next? Frank Saravalli gave us some good insight on Monday about who that might be. Jay Woodcroft is a guy who used to coach the Oilers as a possibility. Peter Laviolette, his name has come up at times. Rick Tocchet's name also has. But I think that he makes a good point. You wonder if the Hawks going to the retread route, retread coaches, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but is a good fit for this team that hasn't done anything yet. You wonder if they want a younger coach, maybe not with experience, who they can grow with, but it's got to be the right guy under those circumstances. I'd like to see somebody with a little experience and on the younger side. Woodcroft sounds like he could be possible.
Yeah, I mean, David, you know way more about this than I would. I'm just surprised guys don't want to coach at the highest levels. They don't want to put that on their resumes. And listen, I don't walk in his shoes. I don't know if his wife wants to stay out in Denver. I'm sure Denver's a nice place to live. I've never been in the state of Colorado, at least that I know of. I'm maybe flowing over it, but I've never been in it. I'm just surprised that you wouldn't want to take a job at the highest level, especially considering how many premier towns, original six teams have openings. I don't know this, David, maybe you do. Like, was he offered or did he interview with any of the other kind of big-time programs, franchises that have openings?
I think they had talked. I don't know if it was a formal interview. I do know the Hawks made a run
at
him.
For sure. But yeah. I was curious if anybody else had. Obviously, he worked it to his advantage. I'm sure he went up from the $700,000 that he was making to, I'm sure he's making well over $1 million now.
Colorado's beautiful. All the sunshine, too. Like 300 days of sunshine a year.
You get a Rocky Mountain high.
I don't know if I'd want to live there. I think it would be a cool place to, once you get used to it, though, it'd be hard to leave. I could see that.
We had a vacation in Colorado one time. It was one of my favorites ever. It's this Marriott property that has since gone private. It's like a private house. They had a chef in this place. It was amazing. The kids got to go out and shoot arrows and stuff, trained. Watch, they weren't just shooting arrows at each other, but there was like a water facility. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. Ow! It was in the middle of nowhere. And as we were driving, we drove through Rifle, Colorado. I did not know there was a town called Rifle, but we drove right through it. So there you go. I would get the hell out of Colorado. I think I'd go kind of a little stir crazy after a while. I love it. I love the outdoors. You know, I'm a big man.
You scream outdoorsman.
I am a big man for thin air. I love it when I can get up on a mountain and really struggle to breathe and kind of half pass out and have people needing to come and help me.
Glorious vacation memories,
sir,
right?
Sir, are you okay?
That was the first. I gotta go was for that a the walk. First date you ever had mouth performed on you?
I feel like I'm slightly taller than average, and that seems really hit me when I'm up at the high elevation. I hope they get. I wonder, David, why aren't they going after the best coaches that are available? There's a lot of guys, and why did they want a college coach? Are they going to duplicate this? Are they going for the Boston University guy? Are they going? You know, wouldn't you want the guy from Western Michigan after he just won a title and he came to that school and, you know, brought all those players with him? I don't know. I'd be very curious to see what they're thinking. I would love to know what the hell the NHL is thinking after watching that draft.
Yeah, no, it's a great question.
What was your response to the NHL draft lottery in which the Blackhawks will pick third? Do Monday's results have any bearing on how attractive the head coaching position is?
They were running some kind of shell game. I could not follow it.
Literally.
That draft.
What was that?
That was the weirdest, most. Oh. They didn't explain anything. They had the ESPN guy acting like he was a NASCAR driver, or a NASCAR announcer. Oh, my God. Oh, they're second. They're going to pick. It was insane. And then all the balls are coming up and the numbers are changing on the screen. I was literally watching this thing like, why are there no introductions? Why are they not explaining what the hell they're doing? It was so confusing. So they're sitting there, they're doing this, and then they finish, and it's like, the Utah Hockey Club is picking fourth, which meant we knew that the Blackhawks could pick no lower than fourth, so it meant they were third, but they left it blank, and they went to a commercial. And I said, yeah, the Hawks picked third.
There's no suspense.
Like, no, they don't.
There was no suspense.
They didn't even, and then you come back, and the whole board's filled out, and then they announce it, and then they go to hockey. I got to tell you. That was the weirdest. I've no. Someone needs to explain what they were doing. Well, what are you doing?
I unfortunately, the draft was like the draft lottery was on my radar. Then it wasn't on my radar, and then I was all in on the Cubs. And then I saw the response on social media about how fouled up to what you're talking about. It was. So then I was upset with myself that I missed it because nobody likes to see a crash more than me and then have an opportunity in this segment
you
to
should
talk
go
about
back.
It.
You would love it.
But what I didn't understand was yesterday, and we just didn't have time. We're busy. So I wanted to ask David this. So I'll have the opportunity now. The Blackhawks don't want to pick first. Because they don't, then they'd have to take a defenseman that they don't need. I'm like, I was confused by that, so I almost felt like it
Frank
was like
Saravelli said
the
that
hockey
yesterday.
Gods were like, "All right, Blackhawks, you don't want to draft first, then fine. Now you're going to draft third." It was like, "Wait a minute, if you're in the position, don't you always want to draft first?"
But they're not going to get the centerman like Misa, right? So they'll probably get the third kid.
Well,
good kid.
The thing about not wanting to draft first, I didn't necessarily agree with that, but it was suggested because. If they did that, then they would not have been able to draft first next year, I believe.
Yes.
So they did not want to disqualify themselves from next year's generational talent, in quotes, who is much more considered to be a can't miss than this year's number one overall pick.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, now that makes that. Thank you.
They'll probably
that
be
makes
in the
it
lottery.
A lot, that I didn't understand that if you took one this year, you were now. And let's hope. I think we could all agree on this. Let's hope they're not in a position.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't like that conversation.
Three, right? That makes sense.
They should not be in next year's draft lottery. And Matthew Schaefer, this year's consensus number one overall pick, is a defenseman that the Hawks really don't need because they do have a good young stockpile of defensemen. So this is not a terrible result for the Hawks going third or second. Michael Misa. I think is one of those guys. James Hagans from Boston College is another. If they end up with one of those two players, they're going to be happy. And I think that's why there wasn't profound disappointment from the Hawks not getting that number one overall pick or even second, because third is not a bad position. I was at the Hawks draft party at the United Center or gathering because Danny Wirtz was there and the whole assembled Blackhawk personnel was there and the office staff. I can tell you that there was confusion in the room among many people as well. Maybe not people that were knowing what was going on, but I think here's what they were trying to do. They were trying to be transparent and having the balls come out of the machine and then coding them and seeing what that meant, rather than that's what they typically do behind the scenes.
Yes.
And then they put the names in an envelope and they open the envelope, they show everybody. But in seeking transparency, they created confusion.
Oh my God, stupidification.
Confusion.
It was, I'm telling you, it was
and then
stupefaction.
The performative Buchigross was doing on stage, it was really kind of ridiculous.
It was so dumb, the whole damn thing.
Oh, I was standing next to Pat Boyle, and I was like, what what just happened? Am I just the only one not getting it here?
I'm watching this thing. They didn't interview anybody. They all of a sudden, the top three players pop up. They introduce them. They didn't really talk to them. Then you go and you see everyone. I'm like, oh, there's Kyle Davidson. He never said a word. They interviewed the guy from the Islanders because they got the first
pick. The Islanders got the first pick. They went from 10th to first, and they had a 3.5% chance of getting the number one overall pick. So I guess the takeaway in Chicago is
Bulls. And did you see who's their draft guy?
Matas.
Matas will be sitting
Lucky
there.
Matas.
There you go.
Different question on a different topic.
The Bears host rookie minicamp later this week. What Bears rookie are you most curious to see on the grass, as they like to say?
I'm very curious about Luther Burden III.
Yeah.
I want to see the burst. I want to see in and out of breaks. I want to see the fluidity. I want to see all the things that made him,
speed,
in some people's eyes, one of the top 15 players on a draft board. And there are some draft analysts and evaluators that said that that was the best pick among all draft picks just because of the value. But so he's at the top of the list, but not far behind for me, I think, out of curiosity. Kyle Manungai is somebody. How tall is he? How quick is he? How fluid is he? And all the things that you see and you think you know what an NFL running back looks like and how he operates. So if he looks the part, you start to wonder. And I do wonder this. I mean, the Bears still are a running back shy of having a running game that they feel good about. No disrespect to Roschon Johnson, but we can talk about their offseason all we want and congratulate them. But to me, they're still one player away from finishing the job.
I'm going to be a lockstep, Luther Burden III. But I also want to bring up body language. That was something that some people weren't happy about. I want to see how people also weren't happy with his initial couple of answers when he jumped on with the media. Didn't sound super enthused. So I'd like to see if there's a little bounce in his step on the grass at Halas Hall.
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of guy who'd be a star of that kind of minicamp because of speed. He should be moving at a different level than other guys. And, you know, minicamp's nothing. They bring him in. Here's the building. Here, get a hotel room for now. But if you make the team, move into this area. There's a bunch of guys staying here. You'll have a lot of fun with them. I mean, that's all it is. It's just, here's where we practice. Here's what we do. There's the building. There's your locker room. Here's the main locker room. And we got a weight room and blah, blah, blah. That's what it is. Tour the building, have a sandwich, and you can live close to this place. Chicago? Oh, that's way the hell downtown. Yeah.
Chicago? Yeah.
Good luck with
Oh, you thought you were drafted
that.
By the Chicago
yeah, exactly.
Bears.
Exactly.
You were drafted by the Lake Forest Bears.
Yeah. Maybe we'll take the crew of you in a van.
Did we tell you
downtown
we're going
for an hour?
And eventually we're going to play at Arlington Heights.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right. But you know, that Kyle Manunga is another guy who it's like there are these like guys that show up at training camp that you look at them and you're like, wow, that guy's quick. Look, that's pretty good stuff. And then the players all show up and you're like, whatever happened to that little guy? Where'd he go? Like, they just disappear in the crowd.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to do that, I hope. But it's going to be fun to just see everyone get acclimated and get a chance to hear what they have to say.
Who's the camp arm?
I don't know. That's a good question. Who did they sign? They've got.
I don't think they have a quarterback. They signed as an undrafted free agent, did they?
So then
they got to have a camp arm.
They're going to have the kid that behind Caleb. Remember the where was their third quarterback from last year? He'll probably be the camp arm, right?
Who would that be?
Remember the Austin Reed.
Oh yeah, Austin Reed. Yeah. Good old Austin Reed. See, Hard Knocks co-star.
That's right.
Yeah,
he was on the team last year. He was on the practice.
That's right. He's a guy.
He's floating around the.
He's floating around with Bajent. Bajent, he gets some reps.
I don't know that they. I don't know if that's beneath him or not. He's now the third quarterback, right? They probably need two arms.
He's a second quarterback.
Oh, he's still the second quarterback.
He's a second quarterback.
Didn't they sign a quarterback?
He's the second quarterback.
Didn't they sign a veteran?
He's the backup. Case Keenum is the third quarterback.
Case Keenum. He's not going to show up for this.
No, he's not. And he's a veteran. But I don't think.
Would it be great if Caleb showed up? He's probably
it would be.
In Egypt or something.
He's at the Met Gala.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely belongs at the Met Gala. No question.
Don't say the Met Gala.
Don't mention it.
Don't mention it.
We'll get exhausted. All right. We've got the extra point.